Please turn with me once again to 2 Chronicles chapter 25. And this morning we've been looking at briefly at the life of Amaziah, but with this verse in mind, in the second verse in chapter 25. And this is what God's word says. And he did, and this Amaziah, did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, but not with a perfect heart. Now in Kings and Chronicles, in this two books of Kings and Chronicles, the kings are described in several ways. Okay, you sometimes read in Kings and Chronicles, and you do see this in the books of Judges as well, that the kings will be described as one who did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, or they did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. Yeah, you see that in both the Kings and Chronicles and in the Judges. They did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, or they did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. However, there's a third group, a quite small third group. And it usually starts with, and so did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. So for example, you have Asa, Jehoash, Amaziah, and Jotham. They did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, but something follows up with that. In this case, but not with a right heart. Sometimes you read, nevertheless, the high places were not taken away. Or sometimes you read, that person did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord. But, howbeit, he entered not into the temple of the Lord, and the people did yet corruptly. So this is the third group of people that we'll be considering, especially in the life of Amaziah. Amaziah is an example of a good king who sadly compromised. And when he compromised, there were consequences that followed. Compromise, and then there were consequences that followed. He was the ninth monarch for the southern kingdom of Judah. He started his reign, as we read in the first verse, when he was only 25 years old. And he reigned for 29 years in Jerusalem, or in Judah, round about in 796 to 767 BC, during the divided kingdoms of Israel and Judah. Now we read that he started off as a good king, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. One writer puts it this way, that he's not too shabby, not great, but not too bad either. You know, there were worse kings in Judah and in Israel, in the history of Judah and Israel. There were worse kings than Amaziah. You know, Amaziah could be very much described all of us, or at least most of us. You know, we may be a good Christian, but not great. You know, this person is a good Christian, but not great. Not too shaggy, not too great, but not too bad either. You know, we're not Spurgeon or John Calvin. You know, but in the eyes of the Lord, how would the Lord describe us? As individuals and as a church, as a local church in this place. Would we be described by the Lord as we are one who did that which was right in the sight of the Lord? Or would we be described as one who did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, but not with a perfect heart? Some translations use the phrase, but not wholeheartedly. Not wholeheartedly. You know, and Amaziah demonstrates to us a decline into compromise. You know, and sadly, we have seen in this day and age, you know, even amongst Christian leaders who have compromised. And well, when we look at Amaziah, we can learn, hopefully we'll learn something from his life. Well, first of all, we need to ask ourselves, what is compromise? What is compromise? Well, compromise is defined as settling differences by each party, making concessions or accommodations in order to find a middle ground. Well, we see that a lot in politics. In this day and age, politics is all about compromise. You know, you've got one party saying one thing, the opposition saying the opposite, and the constituency saying something else, and you know, they all have to, in this quagmire of views and opinions, you have to find some middle ground in order to get things done. So one person described a compromise is an agreement that nobody likes, but everyone can live with. It's an agreement that nobody likes, but that everyone can live with. Compromise can be good or bad. You know, sometimes it can be a good compromise. You know, two persons may agree on something, even if it means somebody or both parties have to sacrifice something. Sometimes we have to compromise in order to maintain the peace, to keep things going, to allow the church to flourish, to allow the church to get on with things, or to bring some dispute into a conclusion. Sometimes we have to compromise. Up in Scotland where we live, I know the COVID restrictions were quite different in England, as opposed to in Scotland, but there was an issue where the church was told, or churches were told to, you know, open the windows in order to improve circulation. But we thought if we did that, we're going to end up losing a lot of heat because it was winter months, and that could mean an increase in energy bills. And so we had to kind of discuss, what are we going to do about this? And so we had to compromise as a church. Or at least in our church, we had to compromise. So, you know, we had to maintain the windows being open during the service, but then close it after service just to allow the heat to be maintained in the building. You know, we had to compromise on these kind of things. But there's also a compromise which is bad. A bad compromise is when somebody chooses to live below the standards that they know to be true, to make concessions or to make accommodations to lower godly standards and behavior. That's not good compromise. That's not good compromise. The psalmist in Psalm 119 says, "Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies, that seek him with his whole heart." His whole heart. "They also do no iniquity, they walk in his ways." And one of the translations write, "They do not compromise with evil, they walk only in his paths." They do not compromise with evil. And that is the kind of compromise that we should be aware of. We should not compromise with evil. The Apostle Paul writes, "Abstain from all appearance of evil." You know, not just to avoid evil itself, not just to avoid sin itself, but even the appearance or the form or the kind of evil. That is something the Apostle Paul instructs us to avoid, to abstain, to turn away. So when we come to Amaziah, we can think about what did Amaziah do? Well, let's look at what good he did first. Okay, he started off well, which is why in verse 2, he did that which was right beside the Lord. So what did he do? What was the good thing that he did? Well, when he became king, first of all, he put to death all those who were responsible for assassinating his father. We read that in verse 3. "Now it came to pass when the kingdom was established to him that he slew the servants that killed the king, his father." Now, he did that as part of justice and not revenge. Okay, we must remember this. This is about justice and not revenge. And how do we know this? Well, we know this because in the next verse, it says, "He slew not their children, but did as it is written in the law in the book of Moses, where the Lord commanded," and this is quoting Deuteronomy chapter 24 verse 16, "the fathers shall not die for the children, neither the children die for the fathers, but every man shall die for his own sin." So, he executed those who, the servants who assassinated his father, but he spared the lives of the children. And that was the right thing that he did. That was justice and not revenge. You know, other kings in other nations were executed the children as well. Why would they do that? They would do that to avoid revenge attacks from the children when the children grew up. That's what other kings would do. But no, Amaziah obeyed the law of Moses in Deuteronomy 24:16, and he only
executed those who assassinated his father. So that was a good start. No compromise on King Amaziah's part. He did that which was right. He could have destroyed all the entire families of his enemies, but no, he followed God's law. He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. However, we read that, but not with a perfect heart, but not wholeheartedly. He started to compromise. But when did he compromise and what did he do? Well, Amaziah, first of all, he mobilized troops to fight against the Edomites. He mobilized troops to fight against the Edomites. Who asked him to do that? Who asked him to gather the troops, his troops, to fight against the Edomites? Nobody did. God didn't ask him to do that. God certainly didn't ask him to do that. And not only did he do that, but he decided, Amaziah decided that his own 300,000 troops were not enough. So in verse 5 we read here that he gathered all the troops, in verse 5, the second part, those 20 years old and above, and found them 300,000 choice men able to go forth to war that can handle spear and shield. And then in verse 6, he hired also 100,000 mighty men of valor out of Israel for 100 talents of silver. He got mercenaries. Instead of seeking guidance from the Lord, Amaziah compromised and hired mercenaries out of Ephraim, who is not exactly, you know, a friend of God. So he did that which was not right. He didn't follow the Lord wholeheartedly. And not only that, but we see in verse 7, there came a man of God saying, O king, let not the army of Israel go with thee. You know, there's mercenaries should not go with you. You should not employ these mercenaries. Why? For the Lord is not with Israel. Now, we won't go into all the history of Israel at that time, but Israel had already compromised with idolatry and so on, and the Lord is not with Israel. This is a northern kingdom. And so why are you in league with them? Why did you employ the mercenaries of Israel when the Lord is not with them? You should not do that. That's what the prophet is saying to Amaziah. You should not do that. Now, and the warning is there. But if thou will go, in verse 8, but if thou will go, do it, be strong for the battle, God shall make thee fall before the enemy. For God has power to help and to cast down. So warning there. You go, you do it on your own. You're on your own. God is not going to be with you. It's ironic, is it not, that in verse 11, and Amaziah strengthened himself and led forth his people and went to the valley of Salt and smote the children of Seir 10,000. It's a bit of play on words here. His name Amaziah literally means, and this is according to experts, strengthened by God. Amaziah, his name is strengthened by God. But in verse 11, he strengthened himself. Where he's supposed to so seek after God and seek after guidance from God. No, he strengthened himself instead of being strengthened by the Lord and went to battle against the Edomites. He didn't get any instructions from God to attack the Edomites. He employed mercenaries when he ought to know better that these are people who are against the Lord and God is against them. And he didn't seek God's guidance. Instead, instead of being strengthened by the Lord, he strengthened himself and went to battle. Everything that he did it on his own. Perhaps it was his insecurity. Perhaps it was his insecurity that 300,000 people, maybe not enough. I need to get a few more soldiers. And so he compromised. He ignored God and chose his own path. You know, compromise is also found in the New Testament. The Apostle Peter compromised his conviction about Christ when Peter ought to know better. When Peter ought to know better, he denied Christ three times. And you know what happened to him after he compromised and he denied Christ three times. And we read in Mark's Gospel, in Mark 14, and the second time the cock crew. And Peter called to mind the word that Jesus said to him before the cock crowed twice, "Thou shalt deny me thrice." And when he thought thereon, he wept. You know, and Peter ought to know better. But yet Peter didn't quite learn his lesson. And later on in the letter of Galatians, we read that Paul had to rebuke him. Because Peter was trying to compromise with the truth in order to get acceptance with the Judaizers. And he lost his liberty, he lost his joy. You know, compromise, the bad sort of compromise, never leads to good things. It never does. We may think that it does for a short period of time, but in the long term, in the grand scheme of things, compromise will always lead to disaster. But not only that, you know, Amaziah didn't just stop there. There's further compromise with Amaziah. If you look at verse 14 and 15, we read that it came to pass after that Amaziah was come from the slaughter of the Edomites, a battle that he should not have fought in the first place, that he brought the gods of the children of Seir and set them up to be his gods, and bowed down himself before them and burned incense unto them. What is he thinking? What was Amaziah thinking? He adopted the idols of the Edomites. The very idols he was meant to destroy, but not that he was supposed to fight that battle, but if there was going to be any idols in front of him, he should have destroyed them. What is going on? What is going on? Well, that's why we read, he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, but not with a perfect heart, not wholeheartedly. He didn't wholeheartedly follow the Lord. You know, we should know this. Hindsight is always a great thing, is it not? That we can look back at Amaziah and we can say, ah, those are red flags, those are alarm bells there. You know, in the corresponding 2 Kings chapter 14, we read that Amaziah did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, yet not like David his father. He did according to all things as Joash his father did. That's the corresponding passage in 2 Kings 14, which you can read in your own time. He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. We have in Chronicles, but not wholeheartedly. Not with a perfect heart, not wholeheartedly. In 2 Kings 14, it expands on that. But not like David, his father, it is King David. But he did that according to all things as Joash, his father, did. You can ask yourself, what did Joash, his father, do? Evidently, Amaziah's character was molded by Joash, not by David. Joash is someone who fell into idolatry. Joash, we read in 2 Kings chapter 12, did that which was right in the sight of the Lord all the days wherein Jehoiada the priest instructed him. This is his father, Amaziah's father. He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord all the days wherein Jehoiada the priest instructed him. But the high places were not taken away. The people still sacrificed and burned incense in high places. See what's happening here? Amaziah's compromise, his character which is tainted by compromise, is being molded by the example of his father. His father, Joash, did that which was right in the sight of the Lord because he was instructed by the priest, Jehoiada, but the high places were not taken away. The high places meaning the places where idolatry or false worship was offered up. Wouldn't go into all the details, but this basically that's what happened. People still sacrifice and burn incense in the high places. That was compromise. His father compromised, and Amaziah, the son, compromised too. And you know, that's a reminder to us.
Perhaps for some of us, we are Christian. We are parents, we have children, perhaps we have grandchildren.
But you know, our actions will influence our children. Our actions will influence our children. Yes, we must pray for their conversion. Obviously, we must pray for their conversion. But if we compromise in the faith, and our children or our grandchildren see us, well, don't be surprised if they follow suit.
Daddy does that, why can I not do that?
Mommy does that, why can I not do that?
Granddad does that, why can I not do that?
Grandma does that. If grandma can do that, grandpa can do that, so can I. You know, we must be very careful with the way we live. Because our lives will impact on our children or grandchildren. And so the compromise starts and the compromise continues in Amaziah. But then there's the consequences of compromise. And then there will be consequences. There will be consequences. The first consequence is just in verse 13, the soldiers, the mercenaries that he employed, remember he paid them but he didn't use them in battle and he sent them back. In their anger and their frustration, we read in verse 13 that they fell upon the cities of Judah from Samaria even to Bethhoron and smote 3,000 of them and took much spoil. The first consequence of Amaziah's compromise is others had to pay the price of his compromise. Not Amaziah. He might be completely oblivious to what was going on. The soldiers, the mercenaries that he sent back, on the way back, they killed 3,000 people along the way in Judah, and they took away their possessions. So that was the first consequence of compromise. It not only degraded his character, but ended up other people paying the price of his compromise. And we read in this few verses here that not only did others pay for the consequence of his compromise, but his character went downhill. Well, obviously he had to go downhill. He worshipped idols. He picked fights with the Edomites. And in fact, when he was speaking to Joab, the king of Israel, Joab, the king of Israel, wasn't very impressed by him. You can read that in verses 17 onwards. He wasn't very impressed. He said, all you're doing is just bullying a small country. You're not doing anything great. All you're doing is just being arrogant and you're picking fights. And this is coming from a king who is not exactly with the Lord. He can see it. That's the irony of it. He can see that you're supposed to be favored by God. You know, you're supposed to be one who did that which was right inside the Lord. But yet I can see that you're being a bit foolish. You just pick fights. You attack a helpless nation. You took the idols and you worship the idols. You're not exactly very bright, are you? Basically, that's what the king of Israel is saying. You've rejected God's guidance. And later on we know, towards the end of that chapter, that Amaziah was killed, ironically, by his own people. In verse 27, after the time that Amaziah did turn away from following the Lord, they made a conspiracy, this is his own people, made a conspiracy against him in Jerusalem, and he fled to Lachish, but they sent to Lachish after him and slew him there. And they brought him upon horses and buried him with his fathers in the city of Judah. The consequence of his compromise is he's going to be killed by his own people. You know, compromise never ends well. Whenever individuals or churches compromise, it never ends well. Up north in Scotland, you may read the news. You know, the Scottish Episcopalian Church, which is the Anglican body up in Scotland, they were the first to allow their clergy to perform same-sex marriage. And that was back in 2017. They were the first ones to do it. And they were very proud in doing so. Only 2 years ago, the Church of Scotland followed suit. Now, the Church of Scotland, there was a report. It's a nice summary of what happened in the Church of Scotland and how, and this is written by an academic in the University of Strathclyde. Not exactly a Christian, but you know, it's a good kind of overview of the history of how the Church of Scotland has embraced same-sex marriage. Back in 2009, you know, almost 15 years ago now, the General Assembly of the Church of Scotland refused to overturn a church in Aberdeen from calling an openly gay man to be the minister. This is 2009, okay? And by 2013, about 10 years ago, it allowed churches to call same-sex or gay and lesbian ministers. And that by that time, it's already acknowledged, back in 2013, it acknowledged that its members in the Church of Scotland may at some point in the future change its doctrines on marriage. At some point, the members of the Church of Scotland may change its doctrines on marriage. That already sounds like a start of compromise, although it started way before that. And by 2015, ministers and deacons were allowed to be same-sex partnerships. 2018, they asked the Church of Scotland asked its own one of its committees to look into whether ministers and deacons can perform same-sex marriage and so on. And by 2022, that went into the General Assembly, and the majority won. And so the Church of Scotland is now allowing same-sex marriage. Now, why do I say that? You can see the decline, the change or the compromise in the Church of Scotland. And I'm not here to bash the Church of Scotland. We know of various people who are trying to hold an evangelical line in the Church of Scotland. But they can see that there's a change. There's a compromise going through the Church of Scotland over what is effectively less than 20 years. And this author wrote in this report from University of Strathclyde, "The Church of Scotland is to be congratulated for its courage in looking forward and not back, for being inclusive and not exclusive, for being pragmatic rather than doctrinaire, or being devoted to doctrine," and so on. That's what the report says. That's compromise, and they're congratulating themselves over it. But like I said, compromise, there are consequences to compromise. There are consequences to compromise. You probably may have read the report that the Church of Scotland will be, by 2040, have membership of about 100,000 people. For a population of about 5 million, they cannot call themselves a national church anymore. In fact, some even would predict that by 2040 there may not even be a Church of Scotland. Isn't that ironic? In order to be progressive, inclusive, open, moving with the times, looking forward, not backwards, we want to have more people coming into our churches. We are looking forward, looking towards that utopia. They're losing people. And that's something that we need to be aware of. That's something that we need to guard ourselves against. Compromise. Well, what is the antidote to compromise? In just a few minutes before we come to an end, what is the antidote against compromise? Well, whatever Amaziah did, just don't do it. That's obvious. What is it that he did that we should learn and not do? He didn't follow the word of God. He didn't follow the word of God. There's nothing, it's not just what we do, but also what we don't do. There's no instruction for him to attack the Edomites. Why on earth did he do that? What was going through his head? The prophet told him, don't do it. Kishore listened to that prophet. The prophet brought God's word to him, and he didn't listen to him. So one of the antidotes is we stick with the Bible. We've got full revelation here. You can blame Amaziah for, well, you know, maybe he's not, you know, not reading his Bible, or, you know, not reading his Old Testament, you know, relying on one prophet. Well, we've got no excuse. We've got the full Bible before us. We cannot compromise on the Word of God. We've got the Word of God, we read it, and we stick to it. We adhere to it, we obey it, we believe it, we live by it. The Bible is not something optional for the Christian faith. The Bible is not an optional additive for us. It's an appendix to our life. We cannot just say, well, we got a Bible, but someone else can interpret for us. Someone else can explain for us. No, we read it and we follow it. Remember, the Bible, the scriptures point us to Christ. And remember, Jesus Christ, he never once compromised with sin. You get some of these more liberal elements in churches where they say that, you know, Jesus, you know, ate with the tax collectors and ate with sinners, and so he compromised. No, that's not compromise. Read what he did. He was pointing them to salvation. He was pointing them to forgiveness. And these people sat with Jesus because they realized that they needed him. They needed salvation. They needed to be forgiven. Jesus wasn't compromising with sin. No way. And we read in the life of Christ that he didn't negotiate with Satan at his temptation. He didn't negotiate with Satan. He didn't give in to sin. No way. And so, looking at the example of Christ Jesus himself, we should know that one of the antidotes against compromise is follow the example of Christ as revealed to us in the scriptures. But also, and this is also again following on from the scriptures as the antidote against compromise, is prayer and fellowship. Prayer and fellowship. Where Amaziah, instead of being strengthened by the Lord, he strengthened himself. That should be a warning to us that we should be strengthened by the Lord through prayer. We pray for guidance when it comes to the big issues of life, where we need time to get answers, not just to listen to the dictates of the world. I know that's the easy way of doing it these days. But we should sit down and think, what is God's will in this matter? Whether it be our career, whether it be our children, or whether it be, you know, the church, what is God's will for us? We read the scriptures, we pray. We pray, and prayer and fellowship. We pray and we seek counsel, godly counsel. You know, it talks about iron sharpeneth iron. And that's very true. One way one antidote against compromise, which Amaziah should have known, but he didn't do it, is to pray and to seek godly counsel. Well, he was given godly counsel, but he just totally disregarded. We seek godly counsel. Those who bring God's word to us, because let's be honest, we don't know everything. So if we have an issue in life, we may know something, you know, from the scriptures, but maybe a friend or colleague or somebody, a loved one, come to us and say, well, have you considered this verse? Have you considered this passage? Have you considered this particular chapter in the Bible? And then the light comes on and you can say, oh yeah, that's true. That's an antidote against compromise. So, just a few thoughts here about Amaziah, life of compromise, but more importantly, for us, the antidote against compromise. But may the Lord help us as we think about the life of Amaziah, He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. That's where he should have, that's where that should be a full stop, not a comma. But if we read, but not with a perfect heart. It's a warning for us, but hopefully it's also an encouragement for us that we can see where he went wrong and let's not follow his example. Well, may the Lord bless us in this passage before us.